Please open your Bibles to Psalm 27. And the first verse is what I'm going to be looking at this morning. This is how the Word of God does read. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? I'm going to use this verse this morning to preach on the topic, Is God Your Back? Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father and our God, this morning we are grateful. We're grateful for the grace that thou hast lavished upon us, that we can gather in this place to look deep into thy word and to understand thy will and thy way. Holy Spirit of the living God, may thou now move through this teaching that the glory of the name of our Lord Jesus may be exalted. Bless, Holy Spirit, the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Undoubtedly, it has been an eventful couple of weeks. On Saturday, May the 14th, 18-year-old Peyton Grandin drove over 200 miles from a small town in New York to a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, and senselessly gunned down 10 persons, injuring 3. Almost all were African Americans. While we were still trying to digest this news, the next day, May the 15th, 68-year-old David Cho entered a Southern California church, Geneva Presbyterian Church, and opened fire on the parishioners. When the dust settled, one person was killed and 5 were injured. Again, as we're trying to digest this senseless violence, 18-year-old Salvador Ramos on May the 24th entered an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, and gunned down 21 persons, 19 children, ages between 8 and 11, and 2 teachers. Indeed, May 2022 will go down in the annals of American history as one of the most deadliest months with regards to mass shootings. Now, while this event have resurrected the ongoing debate about gun violence, beneath all this, there is a subtle emotional trauma that this mass shooting have triggered, not only among those who experienced the violence firsthand, but to the society at large. And this emotional trauma is called fear. Presently, there is an heightened sense of uneasiness that some people are now experiencing when they go to supermarkets, even when they send their kids to school. This heightened sense of uneasiness is indicative of this very subtle emotional trauma called fear. And with such fear comes the triggering of other mental stressors, such as anxiety, panic attacks, which is becoming one of the prevalent psychoses of our age. Unfortunately, Christians are not exempted from this very subtle emotional trauma. If truth be told, the events of this past couple of weeks have triggered some sense of fear among those of you listening to me this morning. Some of us have become skeptical of public places. Some of us who send our kids to school are concerned about their safety. Some of us will attend in-person service, are even concerned about our own safety. All this, I believe, is indicative of this emotional trauma that has enveloped our society. While unbelievers might believe that such fear is warranted in light of the present situation, the Bible speaks to the contrary. For Christians, such fear, according to the Bible, is completely antithetical to who we are called to be, or should I say, what we are called to exhibit. As Christians, we are called to be men and women of faith, men and women of courage, men and women that is not bound by the spirit of fear. So this morning, I want to address a simple question in this preaching, and it's very simple. How do we overcome fear in a world of uncertainty? How do we overcome fear in a world of great insecurity? I truly believe this morning the Bible has an answer for us, and this is what I'm going to endeavor to explore. Now, you cannot overcome what you don't know. So what I'm going to do first this morning as a preamble is to try to explore the meaning of that notion of fear. What exactly is fear? Well, simply defined, fear is an innate emotional impulse or inclination. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, fear has been ingrained in our nature. Every one of us will or has experienced fear. Now, while fear is ingrained in our nature, fear is not altogether bad news. Pastor Wally, what do you mean by that? There is, in a sense, what we call good fear as opposed to bad fear. Let me make this delineation clear. When we talk about good fear is that fear that has objective validity and necessary for the protection of life and property. Again, let me repeat that. Good fear is that fear that has objective validity and it's necessary for the protection of life and property. Assuming that you are hiking in Yellowstone Park, let's take that for example. And as you're hiking, you see a mountain lion. Now, you instinctively understand something about lions. The lions do eat people. And since lions do eat people, you might actually be on the lion's dinner table. As such, fear instinctively kicks in. And the first reaction you will have is to try to protect yourself, to run from such a fear. This is a fear that is based, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying, objective validity, and one that is necessary in order to protect life. Or take an example that your house is on fire. You ain't going to sit in a recliner in your living room while the house is coming down on fire. Instinctively, you will run out of that house because you have seen danger. Those are objective validity. there's an objectivity towards what the danger that's been presented to you. There's another good fear, and it's the fear of the Lord. Close to 70 times in the Bible, the phrase, the fear of God, or fear the Lord, or the fear of the Lord is used. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, Moses will write, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God." Then you go to Job chapter 28, verse 28. "And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." So we see that it's good fear to fear God. It's a sense of reverence and honor and respect to the God of the universe who holds our life in his hand. To understand that he is the all-seeing God, he is the all-knowing God, and that we as his creature must bow in reverence and worship of his holy name. And for those who refuse to fear God, they actually are doing it to their own peril, because the consequences, both in this life and in the life to come, will always be dire. On the flip side, however, there is what we call bad fear. This is what I want to focus on this morning. There is what I call bad fear. And bad fear, by definition, is a fear that lacks objective validity, and in the sense that the danger is either imagined or unknown. I call this the what if fear. Again, I want you to watch what I'm saying now. The differentiation between the two is the notion of objectivity versus subjectivity. Bad fear has to do with a lack of objective validity. In other words, it's a fear that it's either imagined or is a fear that is unknown. Take, for example, you go for a test and you're waiting for the doctor to return your call to see what the result of the test will be. In the interim, you are sitting biting your nails because you're so fearful that this is the end. And by the time the doctor calls you, you've assumed all kinds of things is going to happen to you. How am I going to take care of my children? What is going to happen here? Those are fear that is extremely bad fear, and is extremely a paralysis of the body, of the soul, of the mind, because the person is actually bound in that point of fear. And I truly believe it's fear in the unknown. And I believe this is the kind of fear that paralyzes a person's life. Now, if truth be told, let's be honest here. All of us sometime have this kind of fear. But for most, we're able to shake it off. But there are some people who are unable to shake off that kind of fear, and ultimately becomes a stronghold in their life. And it's this stronghold of this bad fear that becomes a trauma in their lives, that they can't release, they can't let go. They are controlled and bound by that fear. And so to say, they are now in captivity to what they call the spirit of fear. That is exactly what we need to seek to overcome. That is exactly what I believe the events of this past couple of weeks is now interjecting into the life of so many people, bad fear. So this morning, let me return to my initial question. How then do I, as a Christian, how do I overcome this notion of bad fear that is able to paralyze me in such a way that I become less than what God calls me to be? Here are three things this morning, church, I'm going to unveil to you on the way to overcome fear. The first thing I want you to write down is this. For you to be able to overcome fear, you need to be secured to an anchor, Again, I want you to pay more attention to what I just said. You need to be secured to an anchor. You know, an anchor is used to secure the boat at one place in the waters so that it does not drift away from by the wind or blown away by the wind or by the current. And the boat is meant to stay in a position, one position. Now, without the anchor, the boat will slowly drift away and the wind by the wind or by the current, and it will move from the spot that is meant to stay at. The same is true spiritually. You know, the wind and the current is like fear. Again, I want you to pay attention to what I'm using, this metaphor right here. You know, wind and the current is like fear. And like a boat sitting on water. Spiritually, if you are not anchored, you will be blown away by every wind of doctrine. You will be blown away by every conspiracy theory. You will be blown away by every notion of news that are very fearful. You will be blown away because you are not anchored down into a secured anchor. And what anchor should you be anchored to? What should you do? What should your anchor be? It should be to the Lord Jesus. That is the key. That is the key to overcoming fear. You must be secure to an anchor. Now, I want you to watch what David will write here. Psalm 27. Pay close attention to what David writes. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Then he asks a rhetorical question. "Whom shall I fear?" Watch the connection between the anchor and the notion of overcoming fear. David is saying, Adonai is my light, is my salvation. As such, there is no need for me to fear. I got an anchor that I'm placed under, an anchor that is holding me in place. Then he goes further and said, "The Lord is the defense of my life." Another rhetorical question, "Whom shall I dread?" So you can see what David is trying to do here. David is trying to say, because I'm secure to an anchor, because I'm secure to this very powerful, very, 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 very solid anchor, I know that I can fear, I know that I can dread. Then you go to Psalm 56. Again, David will say in Psalm 56, "In God whose word I praise, in God I've placed my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere men do to me?" Watch what David is saying in Psalm 56, verse 4. David is saying, listen, in God I have placed my trust. In other words, he is my anchor. I'm secure to God. And I shall not be afraid. What can mere men do to me? In loved ones this morning, let me lay it down to you. You know, in life, the wind will blow. In life, the billows will roll. In life, there will be storms in your life. There will be storms that threaten to sink your boat. There will be storms that come in that moves you all around. But when you are anchored, when you are anchored to the Lord God of heaven, the Lord who never sleeps nor slumber, the Lord who watches over his people, the Lord whose eyes is going through and through the earth, who sees, when you are anchored to the all-powerful God, no matter the storms that come into your life, which they will come, no matter the billows that roll, no matter what happens, you will still be able to stand. As one old preacher said, you might bend, but you won't break. Because guess what? You are anchored down. That is why the hymn writer could say this. W.B. Williams, he wrote this hymn. He said, "My hope in Christ is bright and clear. In life or death, it will never fail. The tempest rage, I need not fear. My anchor holds within the veil." I tender to you this morning, loved ones, when your anchor is oiled within the veil, when your anchor is in that veil, the Lord Jesus, no matter the billows of life, you'll be able to stand because Jesus will hold you secure. The first way for you to be able to overcome fear. Let me take you to the second thing right here this morning. I want to write this down. To be able to overcome fear, you need to be able to hold on to the promises of God. You need to be able to hold on to the promises of God. You know, the Bible is not only a manual for life. It is a book replete with God's promises to his people. And Peter will put it well, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 3. He says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. For by this he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world by lust. You paying attention to what Peter's saying here? He said, God has granted us magnificent and precious promises. You know what you must say, Pastor Wally, what exactly is the definition of a promise of God? You know, the promise of God can actually be defined as God's covenant to his people. That what God says, you know, God cannot swear by anybody else but himself. He will swear by himself. He's saying to you through his promise, I got your back. He's saying to you through his promise, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He's saying to you through his promise, through his word. He said, greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. It's the promises of God. He's saying to you through his word that you are more than conqueror through him who strengthens you or through love you. And again, I want you to watch what God is saying in his word. And God never fails. Unlike we that renege on our promises, God never renege on his promise. The calling of God cannot be changed. God calls and God is strong to keep his promise. To keep his promise to you. In a unique book by James McDonald, and the book is titled Always True, James McDonald listed 5 promises of God when life is hard. And here are these 5 promises that James McDonald listed in his book. The first promise he said to us is this. He said, God is always with us. As such, I will not fear. The scriptural reference for that is Isaiah chapter 43. You want to write that down, verses 1 and 2. That's the first promise you need to know when times are tough. Number 2 promise James identified, he said, God is always in control. As such, I would not doubt. The scriptural reference that you can actually look at is actually Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. The third promise that James identified when times are tough is this. God is always good. As such, I would not despair. Watch what he's saying. That this is the third promise you need to understand when life is tough. That God is always good. As such, I will not despair. You want to write this scripture verse down. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. The fourth promise he identified is that God is always watching, so I will not fret. Again, you want to write this down. Psalm 34 verse 15. The final promise he identifies for you and I to understand when times are tough is this. God is always victorious. As such, I will not fail. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. 5 promises of God when life is tough. 5 promises of God when we're living in an uncertain world. 5 promises of God that you and I need to be able to chisel on the tablets of our hearts, that we can understand that no matter what's going on now, no matter what's going on in our streets, no matter what's going on in our churches, no matter what's going on in our schools, we can understand that God is always victorious, that in the midst of evil, God can turn it around for good. Like Joseph said to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. That is how, loved ones, you are able to stand and overcome the spirit of fear, this bad fear that is inundating our society. That you can understand that the God who made those promises millennia ago is the same God today who's still saying to you, I got your back. Here's the final pragmatic way I believe that you and I can overcome fear. You have to stop ingesting the negative. I want to write that down. You have to stop ingesting the negative. You know, as the saying goes, garbage in and garbage out. What you constantly ingest is what will mold and shape your thinking. Yes, I believe it is good to be informed. Yes, I believe it is good to be connected to know what's going on around you. But there's a difference between being informed and being enchanted by the negative. And this is exactly what's happening to us today. Many of us have become enchanted with negative news. You flip through your channel, one channel after the other, is the outpouring of the negative. You constantly look through social media. I know some of you listening to me this morning have flipped through your phones and you've looked at your news feed and you've seen what's going on your Facebook page, on your TikTok page, on your Instagram page, on all these pages that you continue to flip through, and you continue to ingest this message. But this is what I want to tell you this morning, loved ones. Every message that you ingest leaves a footprint. Watch what I'm saying to you. Leaves a footprint in your soul. And that footprint in your soul is now planted in such a way that ultimately it begins to now burn. And when it begins to now germinate, what does it do? It begins to give you that inner feeling of uneasiness because you continue to digest all this negative into your psyche. You continue to put it into your soul, but is leaving an imprint, and that imprint is what is ultimately causing you to feel uneasy, because everywhere you turn, there's a carjacking down the street, there's a shooting down the street, or there is a house that was on fire down the street, or there is this that happened down the street, and all those stuff are leaving imprints in your soul. And the more you begin to digest all those stuff, the more you become entrapped by fear. This is what I want to say to you this morning. Yes, be informed, but you must be very vigilant that you don't constantly digest the negative, because it leaves an imprint in your soul. So what do I do then, Pastor Wally? You need to focus on healthy alternatives. Listen to me, loved ones. You need to focus on healthy alternatives. What are the healthy alternatives that are out there? Whoa, the Bible. You know, get informed, but turn to your word. You know, spend time in the word of God. Spend time in studying. Spend time in devotional time. But not only the word of God, there are powerful Christian materials. There are Christian books out there. There are Christian magazines out there that you can devote your time to, that you can look at and read. Something that's going to replenish your soul. Something that's going to leave an imprint that is going to give you greater joy, greater courage, greater strength. You need to have that constantly being poured into your soul. But not only those two. You must be able to cultivate healthy relationships so that you can hang around healthy relationships that will be able to replace the negative. Healthy relationships, small groups in a church where you can come together with like-minded folks who can be able to encourage you in your walk of faith, who can be able to tell you that fear is not what God has given us. As Paul will remind us, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Those are the net positive. Those are the healthy alternatives that you and I can take in and begin to absorb into our soul. And the more we take in those positive, those healthy alternatives, the more we're going to see what comes out of our soul will be that which feels encouraged. What comes out of our soul will be that which feels high, because we understand that our God is still on the throne. And may I tender to you this morning, God is still on the throne. No matter what's taking place in and around the world, God has not been dethroned. He has not been overthrown. He has not been impeached. He is still the God of this universe. And the only way you can know that is not from CNN. He's not from NBC. It's actually through the Word of God that you can understand that there is a God in heaven who stands high, will look low. And the Bible tells us that God is not man. God is not handicapped. God is able. There is none like him. He is the king of the universe. In him is all power. And when we lean upon God, we will never fail. We will never be defeated, because he's always victorious. This morning, loved ones, I tender to you, God got your back. Don't be afraid. Our Father and our God, and I'll commit this time of preaching.